I'm glad to be here with you today, and I just trust God's got the right word for you. I don't look to, go places to preach, because I'm a pastor to a flock. I love what I do. We've been doing it for 45 years, so I don't even look 45. I know, but I am. So all the same, we love what we do. We're not looking to get out. We're looking to get in deeper and do more for the Lord. And I don't believe we should get tired of what God's called us to do. If we are, I think we're in the wrong lane. Yeah. I think we got the wrong things up here and not letting the things that God put inside of us here to come out. Praise the Lord. Thankful for our friendship that we have with Bruce. I've got great friends in ministry, and all over the place, and I need them. I crave them. And I pour gas on that as best as I can. And so I'm thankful that I could be with you today. And just trust God's got a word for you. I just don't think God's random or happenstance. I believe his plan is sure and true. Well, I'm going to talk louder, I'm telling you that. So let's just pray here as we get going today. Father God, we just come before you today. And we know that we are in a precise time, that this isn't random, this isn't same old, it's a new day. And that, Lord, we want to take full account of it, not waste 1 second or 1 minute of it. So things that be said, things that are dropped in our ear and our spirit, Lord, may it make us more productive than ever. So we just thank you. Bless this house. Bless this pastoral team and ministry team. And we thank you, Lord God, that our hope and future is bright. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm here just to be an encouragement to the house, to congratulate you on 30 years of service unto the Lord. I think, for me, that it's kind of the direction that I have been going is really being an encourager to people, because there's a lot of discourage out there, isn't it? But God's got us in, I believe, the precise place at the right time. I don't believe the devil's with it. He'll never win. He's never, ever going to gain any ground. But God's got him in the right place at the right time, and we want to be on time with that. I had an uncle. His name is Kenny, and he was an encourager. He was everybody's favorite uncle. He was just a happy guy. And whenever he lived in Wyoming, that's where my parents originated from, and he had a trucking company back there. And he had good things going on, but whenever he came out where we lived, I was raised in Hood River, Oregon. Anybody from Hood River? I didn't think so. Anyway, whenever Uncle Kenny would come, everybody turned out, because he had this countenance about him. He had a way about him that caused everybody to want to be around him. That's the way we ought to be, right? Yeah. Uncle Kenny was great. He was phenomenal. And we need to have encouragers. Building up, people that know how to lift instead of put down. And the church needs to be that. We need to have that. We need to be prodded. We need to be poked. We need to be, exhorted to be a light, to be goodness, to be a mender of fences, a builder of bridges, and not one that tears down. When you go through sad, mad, and bad, which we do, it tends to get on you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Tends to weigh on you. And good people will turn into do bad things. They're still good people, but it affects your countenance. God said that to Cain. Cain, your countenance is just about to hit the sewer. You need to take care of business. You need to take care of your heart. You need to take care of your soul. You need to take care of your thoughts. We need to hear that today. Now, basically, I'm a Bible teacher in that. That's my core. That's God built me that way, and that's where He sent me to the Bible school Bruce and I went to. And I love that, but it just seems lately people need to be encouraged to be what God made you to be and not try to be something else or affected by that something else. You hang around, you know, sad and negative, it tends to get on us. And that's why we have celebration in 30 years. Accomplishment. Praise God. I commend you for that. You know, coming in, you know, a church has its own culture, has its own atmosphere, has its own identity. You know, isn't it kind of a big word nowadays? They have their own day to come in, you know, your songs and your worship time and your, how you greet one another and your friendliness. Some places I go to, I get a chance to go preach at different places at different times. And some places, you know, people don't want to look at you. I don't think that's a God culture. And people, they don't know how to greet one another. And I think that's just not living. It's living from the outside and not from the inside. You know, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. We got to know how to be God inside minded and to bring it out. Are you with me, church? Back there's a wall that has a mirror on it. And I'm not sure I like looking at me preach, but it's okay. Like, who's that guy? But anyways, I like the presence and the spirit on the church. When people are new and they come to the house and, you know, they need to be embraced. This is a good place. This is a safe place. This is a place that has something good for you. And you do that. Let me just encourage you. If you're established in this house, don't just come in and sit down and be a frump. We got enough of that. Just go down. What was it down there? The saloon. The Bethel saloon. What an oxymoron. Isn't Bethel a house of God? Isn't it the place of God? The house of God saloon. I'm just not trying to configure that. I'm going to take a picture of that and take it to show it to my board. It's just like, what do we got going? When people come in, we need to know that God is in you as well as in this place. And that we're going to get more than sermons. We're going to get the chance to have a relationship. That's a presence that I pick up. I have, you know, people come, my name is Dina, I think. Was it Dina?
Tina.
Tina. With a T, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, what was your name?
Dee.
I had a cousin named Dee, except it was a boy. I don't know what to do with that. Anyway. But I'm taking notes for my house as well as this house. Be people that have, the joy of God on the inside of it, but it comes out, not just inside.
Yeah.
We have that in the house. Good spirit on the place. And people that are vocal. There's amens going out there and, you know, people talking and verbal about their worship in the Lord. We need to be that people. We need to have a cup running over, not a cup that's empty and caving in. As Pastor Bruce has been here 30 years, I study things like this, and I did a study. George Barna is a church statistician. He finds out trends and traits. Been doing it for a long, long time. But years ago, I read where he said the average stay of a pastor in the church is 4 years. And then they change and switch. It's an American culture thing. But there's a more recent one that I read and looking at these things to where now it's from 5 to 7 years. Wow, we're getting so much longer. But you know, I just think that if you're a shepherd of a flock, you just don't come in and do it for something and leave off. You know, aren't you glad the Lord don't have a 4-year segment with you? Aren't you glad the Lord just doesn't, you know, when you fall into the ditch or you eat the wrong thing or you mess up somehow, some way, He just say, I'm out of here. God's got a different drive on the inside of Him. I think it's a big deal for people to have longevity on the inside of them. You know, and there's statistics too, which we won't go into deep on. There's statistics of how long a person stays in a church. Again, I'm not trying to get over, you know, wonky on that. You need to go where you're fed, and you need to go where you're planted and have the right reasons. But God's got equations, recipes that cause the church to be glorious without spot or wrinkle. That's our drive. That's our quest. There's a foundation that God wants us to be built on. He says, I will build my church and hell will not prevail against it. Haven't we just seen too much hell prevailing when that's against what God said? I want those equations that cause us to overcome, to win, and become what God wants us to be, not what a denomination wants us to be, or a particular, you know, a particular ideal. I want to have a church that brings people from broken to life, yes. From messed up to becoming well established, yes. Glorious church. I want us to have a hunger to what it is. To build and continue to create that glorious church. Yes. 30 years is a good length of time. Yes. I commend you. I commend you. I commend the pastors and those that have hooked up here. But it's more than just years. It's more than just decades. It's an eternity equation. We're doing this for the right reasons for a very long time. I want us to look at, again, it just to bring where I think the Lord wants us to go. I want us to look at a couple scriptures today. They're going to bring it up on the screen behind us. I want us to look at 2 Timothy 1. I love this segment. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I want to look at a couple verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, Paul to Timothy. We could put it the Holy Spirit talking to you today. He says, I'm going to tell you something today. I put you or call you to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Who put it there? God put it there when you got born again. Incredible things happened when you got saved. You may not know it. You may think you psychologically took something. And you're supposed to, but God put something on the inside of you that's dynamic. Yes. He put His life in you. He put His spirit in you, and He DNA programmed you for a purpose. Let me finish reading this. I call you to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, and persuaded that is in you also. Wherefore, remember that you stir up the gift that is in you, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, there's a spirit transform, a father to the assigned offspring. He called him the father in faith, or son in the Lord. So there was things stirred and quickened inside of Timothy, but yet things happened that caused him to soften that, to have it passive, that gift's put away in a closet somewhere. You know, maybe I don't know personally, you may have had a real fire for the Lord when you first get saved and you got turned on, but something happened. You got offended. Anybody know about that word? You can get offended. I can get offended walking across the parking lot at Walmart. How about you? I mean, I can get offended watching a TV commercial. You can get offended. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying people get offended. And we got to know how to deal with offense. You know why? Because it'll kill the gift or suppress it, bury it. And you'll go to heaven and you'll stand before God and you'll say, why didn't you do this? Well, I don't do that. The preacher does that, or the deacon does that, or the song leader does that, whoever does, the sound guy, whoever, they do that. I don't do that. I just go to church. But you know what? You're not just a church goer. You're a part of an incredible body. And if you know why I think the church is handicapped, sad, mad, and bad, is because we got a lot of gifts that ain't gifting. And they stay carnal, or they stay natural. and affects their worship, affects their fruit. You know, it's like a tree that's got a disease on it. Just doesn't bear fruit. You're not called to eat the fruit. You're called to bear the fruit. And that's why the church should be blown. When in the world does the leftist, you're going to, you know, boys or girls and all that crazy loony stuff. When did it become so dominant? Why? It's because the church has let disease come in. Emotional disease. Mental disease. And there's no fruit. And it's kind of like this thought that Scripture Spirit is bringing out today. And where Paul, that led Timothy into the pastoral, where Timothy was a pastor, and he just said, why are you sidelined? Where's your fruit, man? Where's the produce? Where's the product? God didn't give you that. He didn't give you timidity. He didn't give you mad. Are you there, church? He didn't give you passivity. There's people who come to church and complain because the sermon wasn't right. And they think that's their fruit. I'm telling you, that ain't fruit. I got another word for that. And they'll complain about the temperature's wrong or this was wrong and that. And we got to know how people got to know how to let what God built them to be to come out.
Yes.
Not one of us that made Jesus the Lord of our lives. That changed it. Now, you're not just taking a psychology. He changed you into something big. And unless you stir up that gift that's within you, you're going to live something that's just worldly or carnal. I've dealt with and I have to deal with ministers sometimes, because that's just where I'm at, is pastors that go through divorce. Pastors. Now, I'm not just talking because they just, you know, are supposed to preach, but they got a gift on the inside of them to put marriages together and not look for some place to get that. I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm just saying, if we will live in what God called us to and not let the outside world cave in on us, I'm telling you what we will be. We will be sharp. We will be blessed. We will be healed. We will be the healer, the bridge builder. We will be those people that have ideas and inventions and turn things around to the good, and not those people that are desperate, that are being influenced by a world that wants to tell boys or girls and vice versa. Are you with me, house? The glorious church, not the handicapped church. Not the church that's broken, not the church that's burnt out. The glorious church. He says, remember your gift, Timothy. Stir it up. Stir up your gift. You don't have to create a new personality to be a solid believer. He put it inside of you. Already. I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you. You can be happy or you can be sad. You can be good or you can be bad. But you got to know how to stir up, because you will be encountering things. Now, I know the pastors have here, pastor's daughter. You'll encounter things. If you're a worker in a church, you will have to find times and have an ability to stir up your gift. Some people in churches are supposed to be worshipers. Well, they won't worship. The only time they'll worship is if they're listening to hard rock on their FM station in the car.
That's true.
Don't jump me down. It's because Brother Hagin used to say that. We gotta know how to live our gift out and not just be denominational Christians. How to live this thing. How to affect your city. I want to affect. That's why we have schools and daycares and Saturday programs. That's why we have a strong missions program in our church. We support missionaries that are doing things in Dubai. I have a friend talked to him this morning. It was his night, my morning. And he's got churches. He had three services, Friday night, Saturday night, and this morning. You know, it's not legal to have a church in Dubai. So they have to do things smart and wise. But it's thriving and people are coming out and God's making ways for them to have church in a place where that's not legal. But why is it? Why do we have those kind? Dubai and Thailand, Charlie Milbro, he has orphanages in there where, you know, I can't go there. because there's just not enough time. But Dubai has orphanages. Dubai and Singapore, where they go out throughout Asia, and we have we support missions in Philippines, in Russia, in Poland. We've got numbers of Bible schools all around the world through Rhema. We support Rhema pretty heavy. So why do we do that? It's because he said go into the world, not just your neighborhood. Saturday Sunday school is great. We've been doing it for 40 plus years, busting these little kids. And like Bruce was saying, some of these kids are mean. These kids, I mean, because they're not raised. They're raised in godless. They're raised up by, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants. And that's probably outdated. I don't know what's the newest cartoon, but there's, he said go into the world. It's expensive. It's time consuming, but you got to have people that want to do what God wants to do and not just say, you know what? My name is Jimmy. I take all you give me. Come and feed me. Make me feel good this week. Tell a couple stories. Salve my emotions and then let me go home because there's a football game on. It's the end of the NFL season and I don't want to miss that. Are you with me, house? Who are we? And if I was to title a message, just stir up your gift. And I have to do that in my house. I have to do that to me because there's days I want to get mad. I want to get upset. They offended me. They stepped on my toes. They did this behind my back. They did that thing. They did all these stuff. My close friends betrayed and blah, blah, blah over 45 years. And you will be offended too. Are you going to live offended or are you going to live the life he's now called you to? The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by denominational training. I was raised in church. And I tell you, I found myself dry and empty and unsaved until I went. And you know, it's my wife who's on, she's on fire. She's in the game. She's preaching today. And I was attracted to her, however God set that up. And you know, I saw her life and I thought, she's got something. She's got a count. She was a pretty girl and all of those things, but she had something that said, that's something I want to discover. So I started hanging around her and so she invited me to church. So I went because she was thinking salvation and I was thinking galvation. So I pursued it and I went to that church and the Spirit of God, you know, bonged me. And he showed me another way, another life, and I got saved. I was 17 years old in, I think, 1968. Do the math like the sister said this morning. And that changed my whole equation when the Lord came on the inside of me.
Yep, exactly.
And I started seeing something different than the denomination I was raised in. I started seeing a walk in the Spirit. And going along in these things, I mean, when you get first saved, do you remember those things?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a distant memory. That should be a reminder of the life we now live. We live by the faith, the Son of God. We need to know how to stir up that gift is my point. And be so excited about the Lord, so much pleasure. But you see this guy living that way. And you see, you know, here's an exciting thing. I do a lot of things with I gotta watch my time too. I left my watch in my room. Anyway, I do a lot of ministry. This morning I get up early and so I'll do people across the world. Support Rick Renner in Russia. I'll text him on his Sunday night is my Sunday morning. And so we'll just do all these kinds of things to stay up with people, stay connected with people. That's our call. But I want to hang around people that are stirred up, that will get on me, influence me, and not just me looking for a place to, you know, drain out.
Yeah.
Stir up the gift that is within you. It's important.
Yeah.
You hang around those kinds of people. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you are different than you've ever been before.
Woo!
And it's not just to go to heaven.
Woo!
Aren't you glad heaven's a promise that we all have?
Yeah.
But it's far more than just heaven. The life we now live. You know, you don't have to live sad and disappointed, complaining about government officials and complaining about this kind of altercation or this kind of divide in our nation. You don't have to live in that. You can help to change that. But you can be so excited about this life that he's called us to, that you'll get out of your rusty dusty and off of your, you know, your sit down spiritual posture, and you can take on this life to where you want to get up in the morning and say, thank you, God, you give me another opportunity.
Yes.
But you change your countenance. You've got to, Timothy, or Paul had a spirit word. Paul had a word for you and I. Paul said, Timothy, why has your countenance fallen? You remember God went to Cain in the garden? He says, buddy, your countenance is fallen and the devil is knocking on your door. He warned him, but you know what? It didn't do no good, did it? Doesn't give us, you know, no solace at all if we know that we could just be calm or mediocre or plain. That's not enough. I mean, you're not enough to be comfortable with comfortable. We got to know how to keep the fire alive. How inside of us, not psychologically, but inside of us. Now look, I love your pastor, and I know they do everything they can to stir you up, but you know, you got to know how to stir yourself up. Because what if he has a bad day, which he never does? But what happens with if he's under a load and pressure, because it can happen, and he's not there, why isn't the pastor calling me? Or why didn't he give me a pat on the back? And he didn't say what he said. He said, he gave me love this morning. You know, you got to know how to stir yourself up, because you're going to get into stuff that will mess you up, because the devil is real. He's not God, but he will knock on your door. He will move in your back seat. He'll show up on your TV screen. He'll show up on your phone. I started to say earlier, I stay in contact with a lot of people. I think it's part of what I'm supposed to do. That's just what I do. Not everybody's supposed to do it, but it's what I do. And so I got a text from this guy this morning. And you know, he lives a million miles away. But he texts me this morning and says, Pastor, I'm sorry. I sent you that video. He says, forgive me. Well, I didn't see the video, but he just told on himself is what he did. And so if you're going to run across things and do things in your life where it could depress you, it can cause you to drift back into the life you used to live. Stir up your gift. What does the scripture says? It's like the pig turning back to the wallow and the dog to the vomit. Revelation 3 and 16. You know, there's tens of thousands of believers that have went back to their vomit.
Yeah, that's true.
I know it's not popular subjects at the 30-year celebration. But how do we just badger people and condemn them? No. It shouldn't just happen to people from the pulpit.
Yeah.
You got to know how to stir yourself up.
Yeah,
and not just here. But here. You know you got more power inside of you.
Then
you know how to calculate. The same power that raised up Christ from the dead has quickened your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells within you. You got quickening power, not soul candy, but I'm talking about lift you out of the graves kind of stuff. But you got to know how to stir. I think Christians have a form of godliness too much, and we don't know how to do the things that we're supposed to do. You put on joy when you want to be sad. To put on patience when you want to be the opposite. To put on the love of God when somebody just hurt your feelings. You ever had your feelings hurt? Or is I the only one? I'm probably the only one. It's too nice on this. This is the wettest side of the world right here. It was wet yesterday coming in. I mean, our side was frozen. So it's okay. I'd rather have wet. Anyways. You got to have the properties in this house, in this church. You've got to know how to stir up. Lynn and I have been married for 53 years. I know I don't even look that old, do I? But we have. But in that length of time, I'm sure that I have said something or done something that hurt her. or offended her. I know she's offended me.
Yeah.
Over something serious like food wasn't the right temperature or something. Serious matter. So even in those things, you will never be in this house more than 10 minutes unless you know how to stir up your gift.
Yeah.
Now, 30 years is a big deal, but you know what? We got 30 in front of us, do we not?
Woo!
So are we going to do that mediocre vanilla pudding?
No.
Or are we going to do that with the eye of the tiger?
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that? With the fight on the inside of us.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. It's, you know, we just had a guy just a few months ago got clipped in his ear. At a rally.
Yep.
And you could tell what was inside of him. I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking about left or right. But he got up after getting clipped in the ear. And his impulse was fight, fight, fight.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about any political direction. But I'm talking, you know what was inside of that guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't hide out. It wasn't run away. It was like, I'm scared. It was like fight, fight, fight. What's on the inside of us when we feel bad, get offended, we fall flat on our face? Do we have fight, fight, fight on the inside of us, which God has put inside of you? But we got to know how to be inside. Peter says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. We live way too much on the outside. You know, you have your emotions on your sleeve. We got to know how to be fruit of the Spirit minded, gifts of the Spirit minded, and not outside mind minded.
Yeah.
Tell you a story. Time is, what time? You get done like 2 o'clock?
3:30.
Right. Tell you a story. Cute story. It's just a story, but it's got a point. There's two boys. They were twins. One was a sad guy. Always looking at the dark side. Always looking at the sad side. The downhill side. That was his, kind of his composure. The way he rolled. But he had a twin brother that was always on the bright side. He was the happy guy. He was the joyful guy. He was always the guy that had the sun shining on him all the time. They had two different personalities. Two different approaches to life. So the father of these guys says, look, I'm going to turn the tables on this. I'm going to turn this equation around to the good. I'm going to get the sad son. We'll call him Eeyore.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
And his donkey. He was always had a cloud over it. Everywhere he went. Oh, no, I don't like it. It's up there. That's Eeyore. And there's his brother. We'll call him Donald. Because he was happy and he was joyful. He had this fight, fight, fight. And this, we can do this and we'll take the hill. Composure about him. The dad said, I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to put an incident together and put an event together to where the sad boy will be glad and the glad boy will be sad. So the daddy went out and he bought a pony for Eeyore. Put the pony in his room. And he went out and he got a load of horse manure. And he put it in Donald's room. So he just said, sons, I got a surprise for you. I want you to go and just look what I got for you. So Eeyore went into his room and there was this pony. And dad heard out of that room and said, oh no, who's going to feed this thing? Who's going to ride this thing? Who's going to comb his hair? Who's going to walk him? Who's going to take care of him? Who's going to build the fence to take care of this new pony? I just don't know what I'm going to do. And then he heard out of the other room, the little boy, Donald, that was, yahoo, yippee, I just am so thankful, looky here. Dad goes in there and there's a little boy, little Donald in there. He's stirring around this manure, just shoveling it around, just trying to get to the bottom of this. And Dad said to Donald, says, what are you doing? Why are you like this? You're so happy and the guy with the pony's not. He says, I just know there is a pony in this pile somewhere. Now, we all know this. There's some people you just can't, you give them $100, it just says, I'm going to pay taxes on it. You give them a new car, they just say, now who's going to wash it? But there's other people that just say, they just keep getting up. A righteous man just keeps getting up. Just keeps getting up. You get offended. Somebody offends you at the front door. You're trying to help them. Some little kid said something. You ever get mad at a little kid? They're little kids. And it ruins your day. Something's wrong with you and not the kid. We got to know how to stir up the gift that is within us. That God put within you. It came maybe through your mama, and maybe it came through your grandma, through your preacher, through the deacon or somebody. Somebody prayed for you and you knew something happened. And you're going to run across things. You're going to get a dent fender. Your tire's going to go out. You know the roof's going to leak. Something's going to always be in your path. But you got the God that's more than enough on the inside of you. And you got to know how to stir that up. And you can look, as we know, it's the positive motivational speaker. He'll say the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Are you going to be an Eeyore or are you going to be Donald? You can all be born again and all saved, and you could be a gossip in a church. You can be born again and you say, I'm not going to give to that. All because of you listening to this guy, born of God, or this guy. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. What I'm telling you, everybody needs to hear. I need to hear it myself. And I want to hang around people like Paul that says, you stop it. Stir up your gift. Look at the wise side. Look at the good side. It's going to turn around. Everything turns around to the good, to those that love the Lord. It's in the book. It says in Galatians 6 and 9. They're going to roll it up on the screen. We don't have time to go there. But in Galatians 6 and 9, it says, do not be weary in well-doing. It says that in King James, I think it is. Do not be weary in well. Let me just add to that. Do not be weary in fighting the good fight of faith. Do not be weary in praying. Because your old body will say, I don't want to get up and pray. Since the COVID thing started, we've really emphasized prayer in our church, and we still do. And we have prayer times at the church that we encourage people to come to. But you know, there's some people the body will talk them out of. I don't want to pray this week. I don't want to pray today. And saying, you can't listen to that voice. Because he'll tell you that new pony God gave you is not good enough. I'm telling you, it is. You got to know how to stir up your gift, and you got to know how to not be weary in well doing. You got to know how to be faithful when your body says no. Your outside world says, I quit. I cannot tell you how many times I've quit my church. But then something slaps me around the head and causes me to wake up, and you know, the stars start shining, and I reapply. I do this all to myself, but you got to know how to do that for your marriage. Your kids, how do your relatives, your assignment in this earth, how to stir up your gift. You got 30 years behind you established. Praise the Lord. Let's get a trophy and let's put it on the shelf. But you can't look at that trophy. You got a vision that get the mark and the prize of a high calling that you got to keep on going and keep on. This city, this region needs this church to not be an Eeyore. But to pick it up and not quit, not get mad, not run away, to be those that are reliable, to be steady and build. Do those things that God's called us to do that will cause this church to be the win and the bright light that this region needs. I need it for my own church. But I need it for all those places God wants to. I've got a dream. I've got a vision to take what God's called us to do and affect Dubai, to affect Thailand, to affect the Philippine Islands, to affect Singapore, Russia, Poland, the Bible schools around the world. We invest in those things because our dream is just bigger than my little myopic little circle. I want to keep stirred up. And when the devil comes on knocking on your door and says, we don't have enough money, I just say, oh, yes, we do. Because I know the God that has it hidden in the hills. He's got it in his bank accounts. There's people ready to pour into our lives. But you have to think that, but you have to believe that, more importantly. Are you with me, church? Ephesians 3 and 20. This verse here is a big verse for me lately. Ephesians 3 and 20. If you read the verses before, it's hours of teaching of what causes this verse to be real. But it's Ephesians 3 and 20. And it says in there that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep. According to the power that's working. Not the power that's in you. The same power that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. But you know, you can have that power on the inside of you and you can commit adultery. You can go rob something. You can cheat your employer. You can lie on your taxes. You can do a lot of stuff. You can steal at Walmart. You can steal at the parts store. That same power. And we hear about it all the time. Too much out of church. But we hear of Christians saying, we say, how could they do that? It's because their flesh is still in charge. Their carnal man is still in charge. They're sad, mad, and bad. And they're living an Eeyore life when they got the risen Savior on the inside of them. We kind of know how to let that new creature in Christ, where old things are passed away, all things become new, and all things are of God, become bigger than the outside man that's influenced by all the talk, all the rumors, all the lies, all the deceit.
Amen.
We got to know how to do it. Am I talking over your head?
No.
See, this is what comes out of the glorious church, not the positional church, not the Sunday meeting church, but Tuesday lookout. I'm talking about the church that lives it 7 days.
Amen.
365.
Amen.
Amen. The same power that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in Rick. And he, through that, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. How big can you think? How big can you think? A tent? Or a nice house? It's a house to keep your kids safe and stable, warm, dry. Do you have exceeding... Is that an ethereal thing? Way out there. God is able to do for you and through you exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. That's just like a bold statement to me. It's not dependent upon God's abilities. It's on the power he put inside of me. And learning how to work it. You know, your faith can grow exceedingly. The Bible says that.
Amen.
He puts faith on the inside of you, but you've got to work that faith. He puts love on the inside of you to forgive everybody that offends you. But you've got to work it. You've got to know how to do that. Give unto every good work. You've got to know how to work that. It's fabulous for me. What is on, how the magnitude of God's gifts on the inside, that they dwell in, according to the power that's working. Do you know the nine fruit of the Spirit?
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness. Do you know those things? Because how are you going to work them if you don't know them? It shouldn't be something that I got to look this up. No, it's you implant that by pondering and thinking and working it. Your flesh don't want to forgive, but your spirit does.
Amen.
Do you think when you get to heaven that you're going to have to stir yourself up to live heaven life? We won't have our flesh to mess it up. But he says your will on earth as it is in heaven. We can live a high degree life, servitude and reflection of the Lord. As he is, the scripture says, 1 John 4. As he is,
so are we
in this world. Now we gotta know how to live this, friends. Not just talk about it. That's why the world is running to crazy stuff instead of God's stuff. It's because it's louder and clearer and more enticing to them. But if you got a table that's set before you in the presence of the enemy, and we decorate it right, we set it up right, the world, the hungry, the lost, the broken, they're not going to want to go out there and eat out of the trough.
Right. Come on.
They're going to sit at the table.
Woo!
That's our call. Exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. What's our 30 years going to look like in the future? Our next 10, our next 20, whatever it may be. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to hang around the right people, not just the religious people. There's some religious people I don't want to hang around because they're dour.
Yeah.
You know, one guy said to me, it looked like they could eat oatmeal through a gas pipe. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's long-faced. We got to know how to reflect it. When people come into your house right here, your home, what do they see? What reflection are you having? The Lord of heaven? Thy will be done on earth as heaven? Do we have a countenance of heaven? Or are we even working on it? Because that's going to attract people. Our hospitals are fuller now than they've ever been.
Yeah.
We have a big organization that, and it's, they come from all over the region. And it's really mental health. It's a psych ward.
Yeah.
And that sucker's full. They have to get in line to get into that place. Why? There's so much emotional breakdown.
Yeah.
I tell you, he heals the broken heart.
Yeah.
Recovers a sight to the blind.
Yeah.
Are we the dealers of that?
Yeah.
Are we the representatives of that? Or are we the ones that need it? All comes about what we let on the inside grow, develop, and produce on the outside. I am what I am by the grace of God, but we got to let the grace of God grow on this side. Everybody in here's got it. We've all got this. But we got to know how to produce it. You can have a tree that has one apple on it, one fruit on it, or you can have that sucker full. It's not dependent upon what God, oh, look what the Lord has done. The Lord said, no, I want to look what you're done. Or doing. Bad English. I'm not an English major, as you can tell. Are we producers? Are we fruit examiners? Are we consumers? Or are we the ones that says, look what the Lord has done. Here, come and see what the Lord has done. There's so much more. Proverbs 27, hang around the right people. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron. Stop hanging around people that are sinking boats. Find somebody that builds them. We got to, and you got to do that up here first, then let it come out. Amen. So much more. Time is gone. Celebration day. I commend you for your work. Don't stay the same. Get better. God's system isn't getting worse. It's getting better if we just let it.
Amen.
Kingdom of God was forcefully advancing, but it's the forceful that lay a hold of it.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray. God, I just thank you today that we are under your shadow. That you lead us and you guide us, God, into green pastures and still waters and places where the fruit is being born. Father, I thank you that you put a spirit on this church that is strong and is vibrant and it has a desire to go into the city, to the region and make a difference. Lord God, put a new dream and a new vision inside of this place. Not new in its origination, but newness like a new marriage, like a newborn, a new dream, a new vision. I pray that over this house. An anointing on your pastors and all the pastoral and service team today. They would be strong. I ask that you bless this house and the wherewithal to let that blessing grow and affect. I pray that, Lord, with all that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for letting you in a great, great conversation.